You are?
Lila Cameron Ramsey. I was known, would be known in the service as Cameron.
Just go ahead and talk if you would.
I went in 1940 in January. I got out in 1950 in January.
What up that time were you overseas?
From the 4th of June, 42 until the 10th of October, 45. I sailed home on my birthday.
Where did you serve in the States? Where did you?
Fort Snelling, Minnesota for 2 years. And then we left there and went to California and joined the 166 station unit and sailed with all the hospital units that were sent to the Pacific in 42 of June. And one ship alone, the USS West Point. And that now is stationed in Seattle. You can look at it if you want. We landed the 4th of June in Melbourne. And then we took a train down to Ballarat, which was a cold little town, thinking we spoke English, but we didn't. And no heat. The only heat you had was a fireplace in some of the rooms. Mine didn't have one. It registered 47 in the bathroom most of the time. The only time you could get warm is if you walked on the sunny side of the street. There were no heat in the stores. The saving grace of the whole thing was a week after we got there, the reserve unit from Idaho that had been 9 months at Alice Springs, Australia, arrived in Ballarat. We woke the town up. It was a little sleepy town.
How big?
I don't know. It was little. It was a small town. And why we were there, I don't know either, excepting this other group came down.
Were you billeted in?
We were billeted, no, in a hotel. And we didn't know. I knew the two girls that I had left Fort Snelling with. And the rest had mostly come from Camp Robinson. And we were put in, made a unit out of before we sailed. We didn't know our officers, we didn't know anybody. And then I guess from there we went to, did I say we came in?
To Melbourne.
I believe we went into Sydney. And then we went from Ballarat to Melbourne and had a small hospital out of a children's school that had all kinds of paintings on the wall for children and very small toilet facilities, everything for children. It was a beautiful school. And they put us on duty. The chief nurse insisted everybody work, so there was seven or eight of us on night duty for maybe, I don't know, 20 patients. This was in a building. It was a venereal hospital. And all those people in there. We had one appendectomy one night.
But these were American military.
American military. But well, where they come from now, I don't know.
They're not battle casualties at that point.
No, they weren't battle casualties. And we would,
what?
We would take turns. Take turns maybe taking a nap at night. 12-hour duty with six or eight of you on duty all night. Because they didn't want us, chief nurse didn't want us to go anyplace.
Didn't want what?
Want us to go anywhere in the daytime. I mean, she wanted to feel that everybody was working for their $70 a month.
Yeah.
No, I guess we're getting 90. We got
90. 10%.
We got 70 and 75.
Yeah, we got 90. And then from there we were sent up to Adelaide. Can't remember much about Adelaide. I'm like Helen.
Mine is so much longer than yours.
But anyhow, we were divided. And I was sent with the group up to an Australian hospital. And we took over. Our boys had already taken over. And that was, they had done a beautiful job of taking care of the patients. But there were no charts. And so when we would ask them what was wrong with this patient, they would reach in their pockets and pull out something here and there. But they had a record of the patients, but they had been doing a job. And I'll never forget, there was one gas gangrene. It was a miserable thing. Our first sergeant got mumps, refused to come into the hospital, so the boys took care of him down in his tent. And again, I don't know how long we were there. And then some of the other group came. I don't know if the chief nurse ever did get there. That was another time that I was sent up with a group, not knowing anything.
Did you have a number to your unit, or?
166 station.
Oh, you remained that forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wherever we went, we were a unit. We got cholera shots in Melbourne, and I got terribly sick, and I remember being so afraid I'd get left behind, because I'd just gotten acquainted with this unit. But I don't really remember, but somehow the next thing I remember, we were in Brisbane, which is clear the other side of...
Hey, ladies.
Hi, how are you?
But when we got to Brisbane, we were taken to Southport, which was a beautiful resort area. And there again, we had a hospital of two floors of Episcopal school and church. The church was in front of the school, and they used it. And the third floor, which was the attic, was where the nurses had. We slept up there. And I know we were there Christmas Day, and it was 104.
Oh my.
And we were in the attic.
But I wasn't there.
And we stepped out on, the band came, often a band would come and play. And the United States band came, and they played White Christmas.
143.
Bunch of homesick kids.
What foods did you miss the most?
Nothing in Australia. The food was delicious. We had steaks and food was very good. And if you want to buy at a restaurant, it was very cheap.
Did you have milk?
Yeah.
Ice cream?
Oh, yes.
Eggs?
Anything in Australia. They were very short of manpower because they'd been fighting in the East. And so it was old men and boys and women, and they did all the work. But there again, this place, we were on our own. Some of the girls rented a little beach cottages, and then we'd go down on weekends and cook American food, more or less, you know, what we wanted. And then from there, we divided again, and I took a group to New Guinea, and a group from the New Guinea hospital came to our hospital.
Were you in charge?
Yes, the chief nurse had dengue fever at the time.
What's that?
It's a fever you get over in Australia. It's not malaria, but it's a similar thing. It's actual fever. It's an actual fever. It's a very... sick thing, apparently. I didn't get
it. Never have it.
No. And I went then with this group 17 miles into the jungle from Port Moresby. And there we were in tents all the time, in tents. And don't ask me how long. We must have been there a year.
Not taking care of patients who were working on
In Brisbane, we had a lot of First Marines. And we got them well. And sent them back into battle, and got them back in New Guinea again from another
operation. I think at least three times.
Did you have some of the same?
I suppose we did. I can't really remember. And we ended up as groups going home from New Guinea because our time was up and our points was up. This has covered 3 years now. And our officers took the points. And we didn't have enough, we had plenty of points, but...
Well, you were an officer too, weren't you?
Didn't count. It didn't count for promotions because they said regular Army would get promoted when you got back to the States. And they were reserves. But we were sent to the New York unit right now on the island of Biak, which is 12 miles by 6, and there were 3 general hospitals and an air depot. That's almost the end of the war. I never saw the other hospitals, but I saw the air depots. And that's where we were when the war ended. Still in Champs.
The E Day or the J Day?
The
J.
J Day. We were VJ Day. It was the most dangerous day I spent during the war because we were just leaving a party at the Air Force and they declared the war was over and we had to be in at midnight and this was about 11:30 in it. They announced it as we were going to our jeeps. And people started shooting off the guns and ammunition, and a captain and I crawled under a jeep. That was
worst for safety.
That was the worst night of the whole war was in.
What did you do then? Did you come home? Were you sent home soon? Or?
We must have stayed there till our patients left. It was a large hospital. They had been there. They had opened this, but this island of Biak, most people never heard of it. It sits on the equator.
You were regular Army, too, weren't you?
I was regular Army. But we had been over there long past due date to go home. I believe there were 6 of us. I've got the pictures downstairs. And then we're sent to the Philippines. And we staged there for about 3 weeks, I think. And we also, near us, we didn't know then, were the prisoners of war from Manchuria. And they were on our ship coming. Scotch and our English and Canadians and Americans.
Did you see much of them?
We didn't see them until we got on board ship. And then we were with them.
They had some interesting stories to tell.
Yes, but they were very quiet about it. They said very. Once in a while, you'd come in with a group that were talking, and if you quietly sat there or something would come up, you would hear about it. Otherwise, they didn't make any big issue of this at all. And I set a sail from the Philippines on the 10th of October.
Your birthday.
And got in sometime in November, I believe.
To San Francisco?
Mm-hmm. To San Francisco. And we sent out the Stoneman. They never even bothered to give us sheets that night. We had a pillowcase and a blanket, Army blanket. That was our welcome. The next 2 nights...
Red Cross didn't meet you with milk and donuts?
They met everybody with milk and donuts that got off our ship. And by the time they got ready to take the Army nurses off the ship, the newspaper had left. The Red Cross had left. They might not. But we got off the ship. There was a number of nurses, a lot of nurses. Some of us had even worked our way home with these prisoners of war. And we were herded into an Army bus. And as we got in, they handed us a sack, which was a sandwich and an apple and a bar of candy. And we were starved because we had had one meal that day and had to wait for docking and unloading and everything. And we stood there and watched them unload and watched them photograph and all this all afternoon. And we were starved. Before we got to eat that, the driver came around and collected a quarter from each one of us for our lunch.
Oh, goodness. Who had provided the lunch? Did you ever find out?
The Army had.
The Army had, but you paid a quarter for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, then they take it to the Stoneman. We had to have an indoctrination for an hour, and then we had a steak dinner that night, but not much of a place to sleep. And so the next two nights, this other nurse and I went to San Francisco and got a room. I don't know the name of the hotel, but it was right across the street from the St. Francis. And
well,
by then
Dallas?
We...
Dallas? It wasn't Dallas.
No, it was a small hotel that nurses, they had allocated. St. Francis was officers, male officers. But we had a good time then because there were two officers that we had met on board ship. And they whined and dined us for 2 days in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. That was one of your more memorable experiences.
Well, I'll tell you how we got back. We finally got on a train and went to Denver. We had 3 days sitting on the train in Denver, waiting to move. And then we finally got to Des Moines, Iowa. Staged there for a while. Then we took another train and went back to North Dakota. Finally got back to North Dakota. All of this time coming out from San Francisco to Des Moines, the WACs had meal tickets. And we paid for our meals. They were expensive by then. And to this day, we have never been reimbursed because it wasn't on our orders.
Did you pursue that?
Oh, yes. There was a whole bunch of us, and we pursued it, but nothing ever came. Our money that we should have gotten per diem going from Fort Snelling to San Francisco, we got about 3 months after we were over in Australia. So it was...
You could ask me. Say you wanted to get upset.
Well, ask me that.
What influenced you to volunteer?
Well, an ad in American Nursing Journal telling about Army and the opportunities they had and things that you could do and the training you could get. And I wanted further education in obstetrics.
Did you ever get it or have an opportunity
to? No, never did, because in 2 years the war came.
And then you did whatever you had to do.
Well, then I went overseas when the war came. I had orders within 10 days after Pearl Harbor, but they didn't have ships until June.
Do you feel that this helped you after you got out of service? Did you learn things or see things that you wouldn't in civilian life?
Oh, I saw things.
Injuries?
I never would have seen. It was a very great education. Never in staying at home would we have had the things to do and to see that we did during service. I wouldn't give any of it up.
Can you compare your service career then and now? Do you think that women today are?
Oh, I think it's a great deal different now. I got married and had to get out because I was pregnant. Now they stay in and have their children and go right along.
In other words,
I could have been retired, you know, in 15 years or so.
Well,
but immediately, I was discharged because I was pregnant.
Yes, they were.
I didn't get, I still don't think I got a regular Army discharge.
What do you mean you don't have a regular Army discharge?
A regular Army are supposed to go before a board.
Oh.
I never did go before a board.
But you were in 10 years.
Mm-hmm. But because I was pregnant, I had out. Although the baby was delivered at Percy Jones, I had an Army discharge. Stayed in. No, I was discharged the 27th of January. She was born the 15th of March, and the Army took care of it.
But weren't you at Valley Forge at some
point?
Well,
I was sent there because I had a liver infection after I come back from overseas. overseas.
But you were in the service then, or were you?
I was in the service. I had had 8 or 9 years service when I had it. I spent 11 months hospitalized in Percy Jones.
In bed?
Mm-hmm.
11
months
in Percy Jones? Mm-hmm. See, I was on duty up there.
I was a patient 11 months, and then I was married, and a year later, when I was pregnant, they sent me to Valley Forge to do a liver biopsy, which almost lost the baby for me. And then I left Valley Forge because I was so homesick to come home, and got my papers from Valley Forge that I had been discharged. So there was no board.
Did that make a difference in any of your benefits that you might have received?
I expect it did. It took me 12 years to even convince the Army that I had an infected liver. The doctor knew it. The doctor, I was treated out here all the time for a residual liver.
Did you get a medical discharge?
From the Army?
No.
No. I didn't
get
it.
That's why you had
but
so much trouble.
12 years later, when I asked for medication, they said the only way they could give it to me was through if I had a 10% disability. And then the word came back from somewhere, this was through the DAV, that it wasn't service connected. And then I got mad. And I said I'd had 9 years of service when I got it. And they sent me a 10% disability. And that's what I have today. But it took me, and it says non-service connected or something, even on my disability.
Oh.
Can't figure it out. You can't fight the Army, so you give up.
What uniform did you wear?
I wore the old blue World War I when I sailed.
And then were you issued the?
Then we had to have uniforms made. I think we had uniforms made about 6 times the first year we were over in Australia. They kept changing them on us.
Then did you get the brown and white seersucker?
Yeah, we wore the seersucker. We wore khaki. Came home in the, we had a green, an olive drab green. We had to wear leggings in New Guinea over top of our slacks. We wore.
Why?
Mosquitoes. We wore Philippine scout shoes, most comfortable shoes I ever had during the whole time I was nursing in New Guinea. I suppose we did until we got out too.
Maybe you covered this, but in New Guinea, where did you live? What sort of quarters?
They were tents, but they had board floors, board walls.
And outdoors?
Oh no, we had tents. They were semi-nice tents. I mean, they were boarded walls and a tent roof, and all screened in. Everything was screened. And there were two of us to a tent.
Well, that was good.
Yeah, we had nice tents.
Real beds?
Yeah.
Cots?
Cots of some kind. I don't believe they were Army cots then. I remember Adelaide having Army cots that were so cold. They were so cold on them.
What demanded the greatest adjustment? Your uniforms or regulations? Language?
The language,
living with others?
The language was a little difficult. We couldn't understand the Cockney Australian. Made a few mistakes on some of the things. But I don't remember having any problems with discipline.
Tried wearing a tie, or did you ever have to?
Oh yes, we wore a dress tie till
so
New Guinea.
Threw away.
Till New
was
Guinea.
Discharged.
No, didn't. No, I really don't remember having.
Do you recall any regulation that everybody disliked?
No, I suppose there were lots of them. There were lots of regulations, but in New Guinea we had to go out. Two officers with sidearms, and had to be in at midnight. And BIAC was the same, and we had fence around our tent in BIAC.
Feeling of being
fenced in. That's when the songs came out, "Don't Fence Me In."
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Don't Fence Me In.